Good to see you again this evening. Good to be here. I appreciate the warm hospitality, the fellowship, all of your kindnesses to us. Thank you so much for making me feel welcome every time I come. I hope there's nothing between you and the Savior tonight, and that God is at work in your life, and that you sense His presence in your lives. Have your Bibles, would you open to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 9, please. John, chapter number 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which had before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed my eyes, and he go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him, How had he received his sight? He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said one of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he had opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, nor who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he do? What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Let's pray. Father, bless these minutes that we spend in thy word and in thy presence. Minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've shared some ideas from these passages, and I trust that some would be encouraged by looking at this chapter number 9 again this evening. Here is a miracle of miracles. The Lord opened the eyes of not just a blind man, but a man that was blind from his birth. In the midst of all of this, we see something of these parents who, in their own experience, must have been so disappointed when they first realized that the baby that had been born, a male child, was a blind child. If you were born blind today, you can overcome your handicap. You can accomplish great things. You can climb to great heights. If you're born blind today, you can still advance and fulfill your desires and your aspirations in spite of your blindness. But if you are born blind in the first century, your occupation is chosen for you at the very beginning. You are a beggar. That's all that you could do. And this poor man spent his life begging, and the reason was he was blind. And suddenly his life has changed. And his parents, of course, are pulled into all of this, and they're amazed also at the miracle. We see here a mission statement of the Lord Jesus, which we've shared in the past in verse number 4. Where Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I must, that's the obligation, work the works, that's the application of him that sent me, that's the dedication. While it is day, that's the dispensation. The night cometh, that's the motivation. When no man can work, that's the termination. And this is the mission statement of the Lord Jesus. And oh, that we would have such a mission statement in our own lives, and a desire to, we must work the works of him that sent us. Happy is the man who is under a sense of obligation to do that thing that he was born to do. Work the works of him that sent us. But in the midst of this, we see a miracle and a man that was touched by God, a man who had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was never ever the same again. And there are three things here I'd like to remind you of this evening. First is the night, second is the sight, and third is the light of John chapter 9. First, again, to remind you of the night. There are different kinds of blindness. There are different kinds of blindness. Blindness, of course, can be caused by many things. I believe there was a time, I don't know if they still do it, where doctors would put certain drops, I think it's silver nitrate, I'm not sure, in the eyes of newborn babies to prevent disease, infection, and blindness. Well, there are no drops that can be placed in anybody's eyes to prevent spiritual blindness. We're all blind when we first come into this world. But here is a man who was blind. And there are different kinds of blindness. There are 10 different kinds of blindness in John chapter 9. The first is the physical blindness. It's the blindness of this man sitting here who was blind from birth. And he was a beggar because he was blind. And our hearts go out to those who have such liabilities and limitations and handicaps. And oh, how we thank God for our senses and that we can see. I know I do. I know that for the years that I was in photography, the thought would occur to me on occasion, what would happen if I became blind? And I would think about that, and of all of the difficulties that would come a person's way, I didn't want that to come my way, to become blind and not be able to see. My eyes are not as good as they used to be. I'm sure my pictures would not be as in focus as they ought to be, but I'm thanking God that I have physical sight. But there are other ways to be blind. This man was blind physically, and our hearts go out to him as he's a picture of a beggar, seemingly in great misfortune. And we see a man going down the sidewalk today with a white cane, tap, tap, tap along the street, and sometimes our hearts are moved when we see such a sight. But we should be as even more greatly moved when we see those who are blind in a different way. Second, there's the blindness of prejudice and ignorance. They don't give white canes to people who have the blindness of prejudice, and they don't give out white canes to people who have the blindness of ignorance, but they're just as pitiful as you see them go across the streets and down the road, tap, 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 as you would in their blindness and in their ignorance. And verse number 2, his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, there was an assumption that was incorrect, that this man was blind because of something he did or something that his parents did. Now, we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if the truth were known, it's by the grace of God and the grace of God alone that we're all not blind physically. And we should be rejoicing every day and praising God that we see the sunrise and the sunset. But these made the assumption that many make in days such as this in the first century, that this man's blindness was a direct result of some sin that he had committed or that his parents had committed, and it was the judgment of God upon him. That's ignorance. That's prejudice that prejudges someone before you even know him, just assumed that he had committed some sin and he was receiving his just reward. By the way, that's the religion of Hinduism. And that's also the religion of many in the world today, that because of some sin that this person committed, he is now blind and therefore a beggar, and he's paying for his sins. That's why there's so little pity. That's why there's so little pity in Hinduism and Hindu cultures. They just assume that this person has found his station, and he is reaping the consequences of a former life. That's ignorance. That's ignorance. And there's a blindness. Oh, that we would pray to the Lord that he would keep us from such blindness, the blindness that is a blindness of ignorance and judges and prejudges a person on the basis of that ignorance. And as I said, you don't give out white canes and dark glasses, but sometimes I wish that we did. Did you ever meet somebody like that? And you're looking at them and you know that they can see physically, but just you know that there is as ignorant to truth and insensitive to reality as a man that's blind as a bat. Maybe you've not met that person yet, but they're a pitiful, pitiful sight. The blindness of prejudice and the blindness of ignorance. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Well, the truth was that this man was blind not because of his sin or because of his parents' sin. But they didn't realize that. The third kind of blindness that some people have is a blindness to opportunity. Jesus answered, verse 3, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now, I know some men that have 20/20 vision when it comes to seeing opportunities. They can spot an opportunity like an eagle can spot a field mouse at 500 feet. They have this vision, they have this sight for opportunity, and that's wonderful. Then there are others of us who are as blind as bats when it comes to seeing opportunity. An opportunity can walk 2 inches from our nose and we won't see it. Oh, Lord, keep us from the blindness to opportunity. And here was a man who had a handicap, but it was for him an opportunity. This is for the glory of God, that the glory of God would be revealed. And some give up, some quit, some drop out, not realizing that opportunity is all around them. Sometimes when things don't work out for you, pray that you have 20/20 vision for opportunities. And say, this is not an insurmountable tragedy or handicap, but this is for the glory of God. And if you just have the sight to see it, that which looks like an awful difficulty and tragedy can turn into something that brings glory and pleasure and fulfillment. Oh, Lord, keep us from the blindness to opportunity. Some men have the blindness to responsibility. In verse number 4, Jesus said, "I must work." How many people have you ever met that were completely blind to responsibility? They just don't see it. You might as well give them a white cane and dark glasses. They don't see responsibility, and they're just as pitiful. And there are those, again, who have sharp eyes and 20/20 vision, and they always see their responsibility and always ready to seize it. And they live their lives in such a way where they say, "I must work the works of him that sent me." Whether they're mothers or whether they're fathers or whether they're citizens or whether they're soldiers, they have a sharp eye to see what is their responsibility and their duty, and they do it. And then you have some who completely skip through life, blind as a bat to responsibility. And those are just as pitiful. Others are blind to urgency. They cannot see the hands on the face of the clock. They don't realize that the night cometh. They're oblivious to the time and the urgency of the hour. Lord, give us keen and sharp vision to see the urgency of the hour, that we would not waste the minutes and let time slip through our fingers. There's another kind of blindness. It's religious blindness. That's in verse 28. "And they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple." Have you ever met a person that was blind by their religion? You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. And you try to explain something to them. You try to show them they have seen a miracle, but they don't understand it because they're blind by their religion. The Apostle Paul was so blinded until the scales fell from his eyes on the road to Damascus. He was blind by religion. And a person like that is real pitiful. They can't see. And as I said, they might as well be tap, 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 tap down the sidewalk of life. And a heart should go out to them. And oh, that we would not be so guilty or so pitiful to be blinded by religion, to be a disciple of a man and a mere mortal. And sometimes we elevate our leaders to such a position that we become blinded by their brilliance and their glory, and we say, I'm Moses' disciple. How pitiful indeed. In verse 34, there's another kind of blindness. It's the blindness of pride. And they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? That's the blindness of pride. Have you ever met a man who was so proud, so sure of himself, that he was blind? You are going to teach us? You are born in sin, and you're going to teach me? Now, I've seen some men that have lost their vision. How do you mean? I mean that they no longer are teachable. Their posture and position is one of pride, and say, you're going to teach me? You used to sit in the wayside begging? You're going to teach us? We, the doctors of the law, who have been teachers for years? Have you ever met somebody like that? Pride makes them blind. Oh, Lord, keep us from losing our sight and becoming blind by pride. And sometimes the little maid is the one who could teach a Syrian general how to rid himself of leprosy. Sometimes truth comes from humble places. Sometimes truth comes from people of low degree. And sometimes we think that we have learned it all, become blind by our pride. You, born in sin, are going to teach us? That's the blindness of pride. Then in verse 34, there's also another kind of blindness. That's the blindness of anger. And they cast him out. Did you ever see somebody get so angry that they were just blind? They couldn't see anymore. They just got so filled with anger that suddenly the light disappeared. Did you never see someone so blind that they were blind with rage? Yes, we spoke of some this morning who are today in penitentiaries because in a moment of blind rage, they flailed around in life and did such damage. Lord, keep us from allowing our blindness, our anger to make us blind, and our blindness to fail to do the things that you would have us to do. Then in verse 29, there's the blindness of unbelief. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. That's the blindness of unbelief. And that's a terrible and awful state. And then in verse 41, there's eternal blindness. Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye would have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. There's an eternal blindness. And oh, how awful it will be for those who go out into eternity without seeing who the Lord is and the Lord of glory. So we see this man who has experienced a miracle, and that miracle is that he is no longer blind, and he is no longer in the night, if you will. But before we look at the miracle and this transaction that took place, let me warn you that there are different kinds of blindness. Don't sit back and say, that's not me, because I'm not sitting on the side of the road selling pencils. Nor do I have a white cane and dark glass. That's not me. I'm not physically blind. That God does not have to do a miracle with me. Let's be careful, because there are different kinds of blindness. And sometimes God needs to do a miracle even in our lives. First, the night. Second, the sight. We see this man came to a place where he began to see. Miracle of miracles. For never had a man been born blind, and now he sees. And the Lord Jesus Christ did it all. He never looked into the face of his mother or his father. He never saw a sunrise or a sunset. All for him was a murky gray. And now suddenly, his eyes capture the rays of the sun, and his mind is illuminated with a brilliant screen of reality. Imagine what it was like. The Bible says he comes seeing. You know, all of us should almost be hysterically happy, because once we were as blind as this man, and we came seeing. Well, first the night, second the sight. Look at verse number 10. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? They wanted to know how. You know, there are some people who spend their Christian experience trying to understand and explain the how of salvation. They said to this man, how is it that once you were blind and now you see? How? Well, let me tell you that you don't have to know the how of salvation to be saved. Some people spend all of their adult Christian lives trying to understand and to study and to explain the how of salvation. Now, some think they're authorities on it. And some will talk to you for hours about it, about the how of salvation. And I suspect that even they are not quite completely sure about the how, because I'm not. Some of it we are amazed at, and some of it we stand in awe at, and some of it we marvel at. But in order to be saved, you don't have to understand the how. How did you get your eyesight? This man didn't know. Did the Lord somehow do something that connected an optic nerve that had been, for some reason, not connected? Did this man suddenly receive a retina that was missing? Did some missing element suddenly be placed there by the... I don't know how. Do you know how? I don't know how. You'll never know how. How did you receive your sight? Now, some people, some men, will pore over books of theology, go to colleges and seminaries, and spend their whole lives trying to discover the how. And it's interesting and fascinating in itself. And some do very well to explain it better than others, but let me tell you, you don't have to know the how in order to be saved. Can you arise and tell us and explain to us superlapsarianism? Probably one or two might be able to. Can you give us a little brief discourse on superlapsarianism? Would you like to? Some would pull their academic robes around themselves and rise up, and they'll speak to us for half an hour on the subject. I could probably speak a minute on it, superlapsarianism. And that's an attempt to somehow explain the how and the why of salvation and how man is lost, etc. I know that's fascinating in itself, but you don't have to know the how in order to be saved. All you have to know is the who. Verse number 11. And he answered and said, a man called Jesus. I might not know the how, but I know the who. And that's why a little child can come into the kingdom of heaven. That's why even that six-year-old can enter into a personal relationship with the Lord of glory. They might not be able to tell you the how, but they can tell you the who. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's what we want. You can go to a church learning experience and sit around in a very dry way, discuss the how. Sort of like, you know, pulling apart a watch and spreading out all the mechanism on a white cloth before you. It's interesting. And it's fascinating to see the springs and the little levers and the gears. And some theologians argue about which gear is bigger than the other. And which gear turns first. And they want to, for their whole Christian experience, argue about which is more important. And really what they want to talk about forever and ever is the how. Faith and repentance, repentance and faith. And their whole Christian experience is arguing in some corner somewhere with their well-worn Bible, try to convince you that they know the how. Now, I'm not sure I know the how. And I've been to seminary. But I do know the who. That's all that's important. Tonight, do you know the who? This man, he wasn't a scholar, he wasn't a rocket scientist, he wasn't a PhD, he was a beggar sitting by the side of the road. And he didn't know the how, but he knew the who. And he said, Jesus. And he didn't know all about him. He didn't know much about him. And before you sit in judgment of him and somehow suggest that he had not yet met the Lord, be careful. For the day that you met the Lord Jesus Christ, you knew so little compared to what you know now. For he's more to us each and every day. He is the infinite God-man, and it'll take us all eternity to understand the wonder of it all. We have just touched the hem of the garment. Now, all he knew was Jesus. And that little six-year-old might not know all the things that Jesus is and what he means, but he knows enough because he knows the who. Have you met Jesus? Christianity is not a how, it's a who. He didn't even know the where. Verse number 12. Then said they unto him, where is he? Now, after a person gets saved and they know the who, we would encourage them to be able to share with others how they can find Jesus. We call that witnessing or soul winning. And a mature Christian can tell somebody where Jesus is so they can find him too. Isn't that right? That somehow what we want to do is be able to share with somebody else how they can meet Jesus. And that's soul winning. This fellow didn't even know the where. He didn't know how to tell other people where to find Jesus. He didn't know. But he was just as saved. He was just as changed. He was just as new. Now, I hope you're able to tell people where Jesus is so they could find him too. But you don't even have to know that. You know, there's a cult that says in order to be a part of their kingdom, you have to be a witness. Now, I want to be a witness, and we're called to be witnesses, but you don't even have to be a witness to go to heaven. Is that right? That's right. All you have to do is met Jesus. That's enough. Have you met him? This fellow didn't know a whole lot, did he? He didn't know the how, and he didn't know the where, but he knew the who. Verse number 14, he knew the when. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay. I have the little word there, when, marked in a little box. Do you know the when? Now, this fellow knew the when. It was on a Sabbath day. Now, that made some people very angry that it was on a Sabbath day. He got healed on the wrong day. Of course, Jesus spoke in another place that if an ox fell in a ditch on the Sabbath day, we would pull it out. In another place, the Lord Jesus pointed out that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, lots of us know the when in our own personal experience, and some would say it was on a Sunday. Some of you don't know when it was. Exactly. You didn't realize that you were supposed to put a circle around the calendar and mark it to know the exact day. But you're pretty sure when it was. You can tell a story about when you met Christ. And if you can't tell the account of when you met Christ, it's because you never met him. Now, I've seen some people, and I'm embarrassed to say, they walk up to me and they shake my hand and say, "How you doing?" I say, "It's nice to meet you." And they say, "Don't you remember me? I met you last time. I met you a year ago." I'm sorry, I don't remember. It's nice to meet you again, and it's good to see you. I forgot. Did it ever happen to you? No, it never happens to you. It happens to me sometimes. But let me tell you something. You don't meet God and forget it. You'll remember that for the rest of your life. It'll be indelibly marked on your heart and mind. This fellow knew the when. He said it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay. Do you remember when it was that you met him? "Happy day, oh happy day, when Jesus took my sins away." Well, he knew the when, but he also knew the what. Verse number 25. "And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." He knew what happened to him. He was not maybe able to explain it. He might not be able to tell you all about the wonders of justification. He might not be able to explain to you about the atonement. He might not be able to use the terminology and the words that you are familiar with. His vocabulary perhaps was not as mature as yours is. But he knew what happened to him. He knew that he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't completely sure exactly what this all entailed, but he knew once he was blind, and now he could see. He knew something had happened. Has something happened in your life that you could tell people about? If you were sitting by the roadside begging and someone came and gave you sight, you'd have something to talk about. When I think of the way I sat in darkness for 21 years, and then suddenly the brilliance, the fullness of the gospel poured into my soul, I had something to shout about. And I've not gotten over it since. And I might not be as good as somebody else in telling the how, but I never ceased to enjoy telling people of the who, and telling them about the what. Once I was blind, but now I see. What a day it was for him. You would think everybody would be happy for him. You would think that the religious leaders of the temple would be so excited that here was a man who had now received his sight. He was whole, and he no longer had to sit outside the perimeters and parameters of worship because of his handicap and his deformment, if you will, but now he could be welcomed into full fellowship because he was made whole. You'd think they would have welcomed him as a brother. They threw him out. They interrogated him. They wanted him to somehow explain the what or the how. And while he could explain the what, he couldn't explain the how. By the way, they asked the parents, and the parents said, "He's of age, ask him. You can't answer for your children." When they become of age, they have to answer for themselves, because God meets people one at a time. And we can only pray that they meet the one who can open their eyes. Well, he didn't know the how, and he didn't know the where. He knew the when, and He was able to explain the what. But in verse 37, we see the why. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Why did God give me the sight that he gave me? Why did he open my eyes? Why did he allow the scales of ignorance and prejudice and religiosity to fall from them? Why did he give me my sight that I might worship him? That's the why. You see, when God gives somebody their spiritual eyesight, those eyes are to be filled with the wonder and the glory of God in his heaven. You see, the psalmist even said in Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Hey, God gave us spiritual eyesight that we might see him and worship him. It's a wonder to me that the pews of churches aren't packed and the buildings aren't filled to the rafters. If people really had an experience of receiving spiritual eyesight, where they would say, once I was blind, but now I see. Because I've met the who of salvation. And I have come to an understanding of the why of salvation. And it's to come and worship him. That's why we gather once a week. Like once blind beggars, we gather in a place. Why? To worship him. How's your sight tonight? Is it 20/20? Does God need to deal with you or me? Ignorance, anger, prejudice, pride. They all have a way of blocking our vision, stealing our joy, robbing us of our heritage and our birthright. Lord, may I never go blind. Thank you for the sight you've given me. Thank you for the day I met the who of salvation, Jesus. Thank you for the day he explained to me who he was, and I discovered the why of salvation. And we come to worship you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for those that are here that have received their sight. Father, we have a world around us who, although they are without white canes and dark glasses, are as blind as could be. And they've been blind from birth. Father, I pray that you would use those that gather here in this place to be the witnesses, to be the voices, to be the heralds and the examples. I pray, Lord, that the brilliance of the light that radiates from those that gather to worship the one who is the light would draw men who are tired of darkness into full fellowship with thee and so great salvation. Thank you for those that come here once every week and understand the why and worship thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, and God bless you.